Good morning, everyone. I am very delighted to say that Louise is off on a little holiday. But today, joining me is Jackie Mativier from Shoe Swap Theatre. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Tracy.
How are you doing?
Excellent.
Excellent is good because you've been very busy organizing a very exciting event.
I have. Yeah. The Theatre on the Edge Festival, which is coming up July 24th to 26th.
Wow. So this is on the edge, a fringe style kind of event?
Yeah, fringe style in that there are lots of different shows in a very short period of time, mm-hmm. and that the shows are fairly short. That's not always the case with fringe, but it is for us, and that people are encouraged to take risks.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, what do you mean, take risks? Like,
well,
not jumping off the edge of the theater, but...
Well, to do something that they might not otherwise be able to do or be able to do in terms of the programming needs of the theater or of where they're going to perform, or something that just takes their fancy and that they, you know, have a short period of time and a desire to do.
Wow. Well, give me an example.
Well, there are shows... We've got four shows that are from artists in the Shoe Swap. Mm-hmm. And, for example, Julia Boddy, who is part of Shoe Swap Theater, she's on the board and she's on the artistic committee. She's actually in a show and directing a show short, under 60 minutes, and things she wouldn't normally show up on the main stage. So she's getting to play a little bit and experiment.
An experimental event. I like that.
Yeah.
That's very, very postmodern, really. Like, to be able to break out of the mainstream feel of live theater, the Shakespearean sort of pattern, right?
Yeah, the Shakespearean and also the sort of the comedies that please everybody and that are kind of, that are fun to go to, but maybe not very contemporary or challenging at all. Not that all this stuff is challenging. We've got comedies, mm-hmm. and there are dramas as well, but it's just, you know, there are shows with adult themes, and so people need to look for that if that's a problem for them.
Yeah.
Ooh, a lot of people, that draws people to it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Right. So you could say that it's a little racier, maybe? Like,
it might be
sort of permission to be a little bit more, you know,
Absolutely.
Take some liberties that you may not be able to if you're trying to please a whole community.
Well, and we're trying to really make this a different event than what Shoe Swap Theatre would do for their main season.
Right.
So this is something that would appeal to some of the audience, maybe, but not all of it. And we're trying to increase the audience. We're trying to bring people in who might not otherwise show up in the seats.
Right. So, but there must be a fair diversity on all seven of your shows. Seven shows?
Seven shows, yeah.
So a diverse themes, a diverse cast, right? Like, it's kind of all different. So there should be, at the very least, one play for every person, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's not all on the same kind of theme where it's all, you know, alternative, edgy sort of Cronenberg stuff.
Not at all. And there's shows that are original scripts that have been written... I think there's one script that it was written just for, you know, this is its first production. There's other scripts that are original that have been produced before. And then there are some that are, you know, coming from publishers that have been produced. There's one from an English playwright. And there's some other ones. I'm not sure what they're not. Oh, yeah, there's two English playwrights, actually. So there's a variety. There's a real variety of material coming from different places and different ideas.
Yeah. So is this kind of the purpose of Fringe all over the world, is to just introduce a different kind of theater to a wider audience?
I think so. And it was a place where people who wanted to take risks and do things that wouldn't be produced in a main stage kind of situation, where there was not a place, you know, it's an expensive undertaking to mount a production. Mm-hmm. And so a Fringe festival takes the organization of it on and looks after finding the venues and all that, and people generally just can show up and do their show, and so they can spend their effort and their time on putting together something that's interesting.
Right.
And then I know I've been around, I lived in Vancouver for years, people really work at promoting their show to try and make it stand out when the Fringe Festival gets big.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the Fringe last year, and we were standing in line at Granville Island at 10 o'clock at night for our show, and we got accosted probably by about five different performers with a little pitch for their show. So you stand in line, and they would come by, and they would pitch their show to you, to the group of people standing in line, and they'd have little flyers, and they'd have maybe a piece of costume on, and they'd just say, this is this show, and it's about this, and this is the time, and we'd really like you to come, and you can have a one-on-one with the person, and it was really exciting.
Well, it is exciting.
Yeah.
Because when do you get that, right? You're mostly getting your information from posters or, you know,
Or the newspaper or websites, exactly. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And so
it's almost like an extra performance.
Yeah. And I'd like to, you know, we really want to try and create that festival atmosphere. Mm-hmm. This is our first year, right?
Yeah.
But I'd really like to create a sense of a real buzz and a sort of excitement and a sense that there's something really special happening that's not ordinary.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned the Vancouver Fringe.
Yeah.
So has that been your main Fringe experience outside of this area? Like, because this is a really big thing to take on, you personally, in Salmon Arm, right? So you must have had other Fringe experience.
Oh, well, it was involved in the very first Dancing on the Edge in Vancouver, which was probably, I was thinking about that this morning, it was probably in the early 90s. It's probably going on 25 years, I would say, old now.
Okay, so what's Dancing on the Edge?
Well, it exactly same idea, that there are lots of independent dance artists out there who had an idea for a piece that was not, and they didn't have the wherewithal to mount a whole production and get that whole thing happening. So it started at the Firehall Arts Center, and they put on, you know, a 2 or 3 or 4 day festival. I can't remember how long it was. And they ran shows. They put together shows from pieces and ran shows from morning till night. And it was a really exciting time because not only were you performing usually in one or two pieces, you were getting to see everybody else's work. And it was a real creative exchange for people and really energizing for everybody involved.
Yeah, I guess I never thought of that performers often never get to see a performance because in big productions, everybody's on stage. Everybody's involved in some way.
Well, yeah, but that's not so common in contemporary dance.
That's true, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's still, like you said, it's a great opportunity to see everybody else's work.
Yeah.
Especially their own personal work.
Yes.
Things they get to develop themselves.
Yeah.
And not just interpreting somebody else's work.
Well, and the same for, you know, like, for dancers, you are a dancer and you're in someone else's work, but you have ideas maybe that you want to play with.
Yeah.
And that gives you a sort of low risk opportunity to do that. Whereas, and it's the same, I think, for actors and people who've been in theater, you know, that's where you start out working, trying to realize someone else's vision, trying to, you know.
Yeah.
And then you begin to say, hey, I've got something to say, or I have an idea. And then this is a place where you can, yeah, I'll try that out.
Wow. I'm really excited for you. So what gave you the impetus to make this happen right here, right now?
Well, it wasn't my idea. I came on board well into the process. Julia Boddy, I hear tell, this has been an idea of hers for quite a while.
Yeah.
And trying to get it off the ground. And there were some meetings in the fall the fall of 2014. And then I came on board in about July. I started coming to organizing meetings and realized that there was a need for sort of a hub, a central organizing person, because there was lots of good ideas flying around, but we were having trouble figuring out how to bring it all together. So I at that point I said, well, I'm not that busy, I could take this on. So
not that busy.
Ew, I can take something else on. So I said, well, I think we need a coordinator and I can do it. So
yeah. Well, that's often the case, right? It needs one person to spearhead and go crazy. And it's not that the ideas haven't already been established. Lots of times there's been, you know, a lot of energy being given to something for a number of years. And everybody knows what it will look like. But it takes the one person that can take that common vision and then say, okay, I can do this. And yeah, so that was very good. Congratulations
on
doing that.
Well, but it's been so, it's been such a great experience because the energy was there. And so there are so many people behind it. There's so many people who are really keen and really working to make it happen. And I don't feel like I'm doing it by myself. I feel like I am the hub and I'm helping disseminate information in all directions, but I'm not doing everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
So do you think that the style of Fringe is that that's what's the most helpful, is having an organizing, like almost like an administrative person who takes care of all of those details so that the artist can do what they feel like they can focus on? Like you said before, the value is that it's all organized, right?
Yeah,
like
to a certain extent.
The venues are set up and so you're feeling like you're doing that, even though you're an artist too and you would be right up there performing or dancing or doing something.
Yeah. Yep.
Are you, you're not going to be performing
in
any of
that? That would be just one too many thing at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But that is valuable. That's why there's a role for everyone in the art sector. Like, no matter what your skill, you know, you don't have to be the
one
artist
thing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the great thing about, I see at Shuswap Theater, is I see people who are doing all the roles. I see people who love to be up on stage, but then they're in the lighting booth and they're, you know, and the next time they're doing costumes or they're, you know, and but then there are some people who love to take that backstage role, and that's where they find their most fulfillment, really.
Yeah.
Those incredibly valuable stage managers.
Yeah.
And people who work front of house and things like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's and you know the people that are the best at their jobs. You really want them in those places.
Yes.
Yeah.
As long as that's what they like to do too.
Yeah. Ah, no, it doesn't matter.
We need a warm body.
Well, and that's kind of interesting. Like, I know as we, like, well, and then after the break, we can talk more about that. But I'm also thinking the warm bodies thing, you know, the building audience, but also building your structure is so important to make sure that people who want to work and want to be involved with theater feel like there's a role for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you can't just necessarily create a role. You have to fulfill your needs as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's a tricky balance.
And
but,
yeah,
but you're finding it not too bad right now at Shuswap Theater?
I think that's one of the things Shuswap Theater has gotten a lot better at, is finding the niche and welcoming new people and making room for them and their ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a real big shift over the number of years I've been involved with them, and it's I think it's really starting to pay off.
Nice.
Yeah.
It does take time though.
I think it does. I think it takes time and it takes a willingness to enter into that process and understand that it might, you know, that it's a learning process and that, you know, you got to open things up and be willing to change in some ways.
Yeah. Well, change is inevitable. Uh-huh. It's going to happen anyway.
It is.
And so you really have to, as an organization, you have to make the decision as how you're going to change, not if you're going to change.
Yeah. And get out front.
Yes.
And be proactive about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're looking at not only the people that are coming to you looking for a role, looking for a place within your organization, but you're looking at meeting the needs of the whole wider community at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Starting to understand what other parts of the audience that we can serve, because, you know, Shuswap Theater has a specific audience and has for a while, and how can we expand it? Because that's always you run into the same thing at the art gallery, right?
Yes.
You're always trying to meet trying to fill out more corners of the audience, trying to expand your audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially younger ones. You're
Especially.
Trying to build a lifetime of arts appreciation
That's
and
right.
involvement and engagement.
Yeah.
And so you gotta get them young.
Yep.
So yeah, it's very exciting. It's actually, I'm really thrilled for you that this is going to happen and it's all becoming a reality, and that the lineup looks fantastic.
Yep.
So before we get to the lineup of some of the things that are happening, I just wanted to continue on with our thought right before the break about engaging the community, engaging a different kind of audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, that must be kind of the goal of something like this, right? Like, you're not just, I mean, we talked about how it's a very comfortable environment for artists to be able to take those extra risks and do something mm-hmm. that they've been maybe thinking about for a while, but also an opportunity to pull people out of your community who may be having their first experience with theater.
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. I mean, as audience members, you know, when I was designing the look of the publicity, we really wanted it to look like something different than what Shuswap Theater looks like,
yeah.
you know, to, in order to to pick people's interest up and let people know that there really was something different. So we're trying to cue them visually as well.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that will pay off in terms of attracting people as volunteers as well as audience members.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so are you looking for a certain demographic?
Well, definitely looking for younger people. Mm-hmm. That's really where we're, you know, the audience for all arts events. I mean, this is endemic across Canada, is that it's aging.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So we're always looking for the younger audience member. That's the gold.
Yeah. And I think we're doing a service. Like, I think that's the benefit of the Shugo program, which, this was your idea at the Arts Council level, to have a youth ticket subsidy program. Mm-hmm. Because what we're doing is we're introducing them to a part of culture in Canada that you know, maybe they don't see as important when they're young because they're busy kind of having their life and making money and going to school, whatever, and building careers, you know, just working towards things. And you kind of forget that there's peripheral stuff out there that actually turns out to be the very core of who you are. And so by working to make sure that people who are younger get that experience, you're really ensuring that as they age, they're going to recognize the importance of our connections within the community, of the way of our stories, of our history. And so that's the benefit of programs like that, and I think this particular event is definitely serving that.
I mean, the live performance, the value of live performance, I think, is as we have so much more performance that is not live available to us than ever before, right? Really promoting that and letting people experience live performance is so important, I think, because there's a connection there. It's really astonishing how much more powerful it is to see something live than to see it on a screen.
Yeah. Has there been, seems to me like everything's been scientifically studied. Has there been some kind of science that shows how we react to live theater, live music compared to digital music and screens?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually, that would be a very interesting thing. I'm sure one of those, Hill researchers or one of those places would have studies on it. I don't actually know.
Well, we'll have to set up some electrodes on our heads of the audience and see what's going on in there.
But I know for me, I went to live performance theater especially, but also live music from a really early age. My grandfather was really, he bought me season's tickets. I lived in Ottawa, to the National Arts Centre. So I went to theater for season and classical music. And I just remember being so blown away so many times by live theater. It just, you know, and it's no wonder I ended up in theater, I guess, but it was such a powerful experience for me.
Yeah. And how old were you then?
I was probably between 10 and 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's so critically important to make sure that kids, teenagers, and young adults get this opportunity.
I think so. And I think it can, I think it can be life-changing for people, even if they don't end up in the arts, right?
Yeah.
Just as a, it lifts you out of your everyday experience of life in a really potent way, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, we could get into some serious philosophical stuff about what it does. Well, what the arts sector does in general when you experience live arts.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, with just more and more of everything being digitized and available, Netflix streaming and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, it kind of feels like we're losing some of it.
And we're losing, I think, how special it is in a way, because it's so ubiquitous. It's everywhere. I mean, how many performances do kids watch on their phones daily?
Yeah.
How many video, you know, music videos and people performing for the camera on YouTube and, you know, their little vlogs and all that kind of stuff, right? It's everywhere that you're seeing someone performing, but it's not live.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so that's why Wednesday on the Wharf is so important too, right? It's not that we have, whatever, Taylor Swift and Kane on and, you know, like, it's not about who's trendy and what's happening and, you know, in the big, huge pop culture world. It's about just experiencing live music and moving your body and being outside and being with the community. Well, that's the other thing, right? The very individual nature, the isolated nature of viewing performances online compared to being in an audience and being able to laugh together and be shocked together and to clap and standing ovations or I don't know. There's something about the standing ovation with me. It's like, you know,
that thrilling moment where you can feel the energy going, lifting up.
Yeah. And then one person stands and that's it. Everybody stands up and it's actually a whole different kind of experience outside of the performance itself. It's like you're in a big family just for a brief time.
As a performer, that is a critical part of the performance, is the energy of the audience.
Yeah.
That you don't, you know, when you talk to actors who do a lot of film and television, you don't have that aspect of the performance. And for a lot, and that's why so many actors, their biggest love is live performance, because there's that unpredictable element that actually feeds you and adds into your performance in a way that a television screen or camera or doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. I know that, like, that's why Benedict Cumberbatch has not been attending Comic Cons, because he's busy performing Hamlet, right? Like, and you can sort of see it. All these actors who are, I mean, if they're really passionate about their craft, they want that. They want the back and forth between the audience, and it's quite risky, really.
Well, you remember when we went to the Laughing Gas, the improv?
Yes.
How exciting that is to be in the room when people are improvising. When people are making it up as they go, and you're watching it all happen in front of you. And I love improvisation. And to me, that is just a delight to watch people as that happens. Watch their faces, watch their body language, watch the split second decisions that are happening, and the going with it, and the intuition and the memory of what happened before, and building on that. And it is thrilling.
The pressure that must be on those people, it just must be so intense, but they're rolling with it.
Yeah.
And you're right, being able to watch them make split second decisions, it's so exciting.
Yeah.
I heard people laughing in that audience that I thought they were going to hork out a lung. Like, it was so great. It was really funny. I have to admit, that was like, I was surprised, like, because you've seen on TV, right? Like, that Whose Line Is It Anyway? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the professional improvers. And so I went with sort of low expectations, but they were so, like, broken and beyond. It was so wonderful. So we do have some very talented people in the community. Okay, so maybe we can move on to that now and actually talk about the plays that you're going to be presenting.
Right.
So how many plays are by ShoeSwap people, by, like, ShoeSwap writers or directors and actors?
Four. There's four from ShoeSwap Productions. Mm-hmm. One of them is, several of them are involved with ShoeSwap Theater already, and a couple aren't. So Peter Blacklock and Julia Boddy are both pretty familiar names, and they are, for anyone who knows ShoeSwap Theater anyway, Peter Blacklock's written and directed The Haney Show for a number of years, right? So he's got a play that he wrote. He's a playwright, clearly. And this play won an award at a festival, the Pont d'Oré Festival. I don't know where that is. But
the Pont d'Oré Festival?
Yeah.
I know where that is.
Where is it?
Well, it's down in the south by Trail. At least that's, the Pont d'Oré Valley is one that spans Canada and the U.S.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it's somewhere else, but I just know the Pont d'Oré area that was flooded with the dam.
Oh.
One of my family members used to live in the area. They had to leave their cabin because it was going to be underwater because of the dam. Anyway, it was really special times. I used to spend summers there. Okay. So there you go.
There we go.
Little backstory.
So his play, A Very Silly Love Story, was took an award at a festival down there, it's a two-hander. And
what does that mean? A two-hander?
Two-hander means two actors.
Oh, okay. All this lingo.
Yes, and he's directing, and he's actually given Julia Boddy director's credit as well. So the two of them are co-directing it, and they're both in it.
Oh,
yeah.
And there's only two of them, so
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How do you direct yourself?
I've always wondered that. I think you direct each other. I think that's a great, it's a collaboration, it sounds like, that they're having. So he wrote the play and he said, let's do it together, and they're collaborating on it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that should be very interesting.
Yeah.
A very silly love story.
And it's, the setup is there's a couple on a shipwrecked on an island. He's had a bump on the head, and he doesn't remember the whirlwind romance and marriage they had just before the ship sank.
Well, that should be great. Yes. Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. And so are we talking kind of minimalist sets and things like that too?
Absolutely, because the changeover between shows is going to be an hour most times. So
it's hard for set building.
Get and one off and one on. Yeah. So we're going to have, most of the sets are going to be pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, and what day does that one? Are they all just one-timers, or do they get to play twice?
Each show is on twice. Okay. So if you don't get to see it the first time, you'll get to see it another time. There'll be another show.
Okay, so A Very Silly Love Story
is running Friday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Oh, okay, so a good 2 days apart.
Yep.
Okay, so what's another one that's by
Julia? So I was talking about Julia. She's another Shuswap person. She's done lots for the theater. She is got a theater company, her little group called Red Wagon Theater. And she is doing a play, another two-hander.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm getting it now. Two actors.
With two men. And it's this play has won several awards, playwriting awards again. Hmm. And she says it's in the style of theater of the absurd. Bear in mind, I haven't seen any of these plays yet. So, I mean, one of them I've seen, but I haven't seen any of the other ones. So.
Oh, okay.
And so it's about a man. It sounds a bit Waiting for Godot-ish, but I think it's funny.
Oh.
Funnier than Waiting for Godot. A second man arrives, and how did they come to be here? What has drawn them to the edge? That's all I know about it. It's called A Bench at the Edge.
A Bench at the Edge. Actually, I read about that one. It did sound really intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little bit, it's nice and philosophical, but a little bit funnier.
I think it's somewhat philosophical. Yes. But what can I say? I haven't seen it. So I'm,
I'm
looking forward to
it. The mysterious part of this is all wonderful too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you can wait for 2 weeks to see how it goes and listen to your friends on the street about, their reviews.
Yeah.
You just got to trust that it's going to be different and amazing and just go.
Well, and the other thing is, you know what? It's only 60 minutes long.
Yeah.
And so
you're not investing like a whole day or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. You just can get in there and you can get in to see more than one.
Yes, yes.
In a day.
Give us another one now.
Okay. So Calvin,
I'm excited now. See?
So Calvin White is doing a show that he has written, directed, and performing. And it's called The Question Is. Very leading.
Is this the Calvin title. White that used to be the politician?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That Calvin White.
Interesting.
He's written a book, I think, as well. And this play, I know, was performed at the Vancouver Fringe Festival already. And it's a one-hander.
I'm on it.
Which
must be an enormous amount of pressure on the one actor to do this.
Think of it. It's a monologue. It's a 40-minute monologue or, however many minutes.
Yeah, you got no one there to help you remember your line if you forget your line.
Yeah.
Nobody prompts
you. Yeah, but you know what? You can also fake it. Nobody
else.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah,
there's nobody relying on you to prompt them. That's good.
You could always, especially if it's your own play, you could just start improvising, right?
And it's just different every time.
Yep.
Okay. So anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
All right. So Calvin's play, you were talking about how it's philosophical.
Yeah.
I think the earlier one is not philosophical play. I would think this one is a little more philosophical because this one's called, he describes it as an unsettling look at an individual's search for purpose.
Oh my gosh, that's huge.
It's a psychodrama. So,
wow. Are we going to find ourselves during this?
Or he'll help us.
Yeah.
Or we'll watch him find himself or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sounds like an interesting experience. So he says the result is theater that, while disturbing, in the end pushes us to go deeper into the fabric of our humanness.
Wow. So this could be another one of those life-changing things for people.
Could be, yeah.
You think, I'll just go. I'll see what this guy's all about. And then it ends up, changing the direction of your life. Well, it happens, right?
Could, yeah.
Like sometimes you go to some live arts event, and it just brings some element into your life that you don't, how else would it get there?
Yeah.
How else would that thought into your head? And you dwell on it and you think about it and it kind of keeps you up at night for a few days. Really good art will do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just kind of not leave your head.
Yep.
And the more you think about it and process it, the more it changes you.
Yep.
Wow. Look at the power you have. Okay. What else we got? Oh, yeah. And so Calvin's a local.
And, yep. And then the other local, the last one is Nina Dickens, who's been in the Shuswap for a while now. And she's performing a play called Bed Among the Lentils, which apparently she's been performing for over 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a one-person play. And it's... she's done it. I saw it. This is the only play that of the festival that I've actually seen. I saw it in her living room last year. Huh. Fabulous play about a woman who's a very quiet, the wife of a vicar. And I don't want to give the plot away, so I'll just say that she has a very surprising turn of events in her life, makes some interesting decisions. And so you hear all about her life in a quiet English town, small English town, and the events that happen and how she feels about it and how she looks at her marriage. And yeah.
Interesting. It's
written by quite a well-known English playwright named Alan Bennett.
But Nina must feel a particular affinity for this character if she's been performing it this many years.
Well, Nina is British.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. She must. I haven't asked her about that. Yeah. Maybe if you come and you come to see the play, you can talk to her afterwards. Nina.
Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So actually, speaking of that, before we get into some of the other plays, how many opportunities are there to do that, to be able to meet up after, talk to the actors, talk to the directors, talk with each other, mm-hmm. the audience members?
And the actors talking to each other and the performers and the directors. Yeah. Well, that was part of the idea behind this, was to create a real festival atmosphere. So we have a Club Edge that is running during the festival, where we've opened up the patio and we're blocking off the alley beside the theater, and we'll have food and we'll have drinks. We'll have a license for the whole time. And we want to create a real festival atmosphere, sort of a green room kind of thing, where people can get together and talk, and we'll have live music.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, between the shows.
Yeah.
So it'll be an opportunity for people to hang out between shows, because there's only an hour between shows a lot of times.
Yeah.
So you can have a break, process, talk to people, talk to other audience members, and maybe, you know, during that weekend, there should be lots of other of the people who are involved in the shows around, and then head back in for the next show.
Yeah, because that's the other, you know, that's the other element, right, is being able to talk about it afterwards. When you're in an audience situation, you're quiet.
Yeah.
Right? You want to be able, and I know somebody that I attend live performances with likes to talk during the performance because he's got thoughts that he wants to share right now. and so what a great opportunity to do this right after, and mm-hmm. especially if people are going to see two or three shows in a day and they can do it just bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's really good thinking. Good for you guys.
Yeah. Well, that was part of what I loved about that festival experience. I've been to lots of different festivals like that, and that's a big part of it, is that exchange, right?
Yeah.
And it really deepens your experience of what you've seen too, if you get a chance to talk about it. You don't just go home, get in the car, you know, home and go to bed.
Yeah, and do the dishes and stuff, right? Yeah. Yeah, we need to have those opportunities, and that's exactly what it is about connections. You know, we build the connection by experiencing the live arts events, but also by processing it, disseminating it, you know, like just,
that's right.
You know, using these giant brains we have, and that's how we build relationships too, right? How many times have you sat down and started talking about something with somebody you don't really know very well?
Yeah.
And then by the time you're done, you're like, huh, we have a lot in common.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. Another great way to build community. Okay. Let's go on. What's
all
the
right.
next?
And then we have three groups coming from out of town.
Mm.
So that's really exciting.
Now that is exciting because, you know, some people are always this, you know, this weird thing about keep it local, right? Like we've got so many talented people in the Shuswap. We want to keep it, you know, an opportunity for those people to share their talents. But it is so critical to bring people in from outside the area mm-hmm. for just that little bit of different perspective, little different ideas. And it means in reverse, it means that Shuswap people get opportunities outside of our region too.
Yeah.
And so we have to think about it as a relationship we're building on a bigger scale. It's good. It's positive. So
it's absolutely positive. I think it's critical for artists too, to be able to move out of their own region into another region and share their own perspectives as well as gain new ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So who do we got coming in from out of town?
So we have we have a group called Saucy Fops coming from Kamloops, and they've been around for a while. Mm-hmm. They've done some festival touring, some fringe festival touring, and they've gotten some fabulous reviews. It's up on their website. You know, they've been in Winnipeg and places like that. And they have a new, they're the group I mentioned earlier that has a new play. Their playwright, I can't remember the name of the man who writes the plays for them. It's called Back and Forth and Back. And it says, what they sent to me was a fast-paced and intricate show which examines the repetition and rhythm of our daily interactions and how a simple change of perspective can often reveal mixed messages. That's what I know about that show. So again, that sounds really interesting. It leaves it wide open as to what it's actually about. They have a cast of, I believe, 4 or 5. So this is a bigger show.
Yeah.
And it looks, and I think, you know, it's the reviews that I've read talk about how it's witty and really entertaining and insightful. So it sounds like this playwright's really got something going on.
Wow. Yeah. And that's such an interesting name, Saucy Fops.
Yeah.
I have to be careful how I say that. Oh, great. I hadn't even heard of them before.
Yeah.
So they've been around in Kamloops for quite a few years?
Yep. They're a smaller group. I don't think they have their own venue, you know, so they rent venues and perform. Yeah. And that's kind of the way of a lot of small theater groups.
Right.
You know, you can't afford your own home, like Shuswap Theater is so lucky to have their own home.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, for sure. Okay, who else?
All right, Katrina Kadoski from Souk is done a show. She's written it and she's performing in it. It's about a woman named Cougar Annie. It's called Cougar Annie Tales.
Oh, yeah, I read about this one. I like the sounds of this.
And she is a legendary Vancouver Island pioneer in the Tofino area, Heskiat Sound, Heskiat Bay, and she moved out there in the early 1900s. She ran a nursery and a post office. She survived the death of her husband. She had a bunch of children, and apparently she was called Cougar Annie because she claims to have killed 70 cougars and collected the bounty on them.
Oh my gosh.
So and Katrina's created a musical show. I know there's going to be photographs projected, so there's a whole mix, or there's a whole media element to it as well as singing, so there's songs.
Wow.
And she's toured this show, and she won pick of the Victoria Fringe when she did it in 2012.
Wow.
So this show's toured, and I think it's, you know, polished, and I've heard great things about it. In fact, I think it was in Armstrong earlier this year, last year or something. Huh. So
what a great opportunity to see something that's already been winning awards at other festivals.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did she land in here? Like, did you call her up one day and say, hey?
I didn't call her up. I heard from her. I heard that she was interested. I think it was she heard through the grapevine, through her Armstrong connections, that we were doing this festival. So, yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Fun. And that's an interesting thing about the new media. You know, we're just saying how people are kind of attached to their digital projection or digital screens and all of these sort of pre-recorded performances. But live performance is utilizing new media
for sure
to kind of bring certain elements to life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting.
And it's not a set, right? It's very easy to carry that.
That's right. Flash drive.
Yeah.
Plug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a good one. Okay. And then we've got somebody from Kelowna, right?
Kelowna. Yeah. So Fred Skelton that's the name of the company. Fred Skelton. They were here.
Skeleton? Like
skeleton. Yeah. Skeleton. As in they have a skeleton on a stand when they perform in the lobby. They put their skeleton with a t-shirt on it. they were actually just here at Shuswap Theater performing a play called Our Country's Good.
Right. I heard great things.
Yeah.
Holy.
And they won the Ozone Festival, which is it's a provincial, the province is divided into zones for community theater, and they won the Zone Festival for this area, and they went to Main Stage, and they got a bunch of awards at Main Stage as
Holy.
Well. And last year, they won the provincial award for the whole at the Main Stage Festival. So they're getting a lot of buzz. They're really they've won tons of awards, and their theater is definitely edgy and exciting.
So
I've seen a couple of their shows so far. Not this one. Now, this one is Christy in Love, it's called. and it's about a serial killer, an infamous serial killer in the 40s and 50s in London.
Hmm.
Now, the staging of this is very interesting. I don't think I'm going to give it away because that's going to be part of it, but the audience will be more limited, and the playing area is very small, and the staging is quite intriguing.
Oh.
So that'll be, and this one does have a warning on it for coarse language and adult themes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think...
Well, one would think with a serial killer being the main subject,
yeah,
might not be one might to bring
be
a 5-year-old.
Might not be family-friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that message is there.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes you do have to put the warnings on anyway. You just never know. Well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah.
It must be very challenging for you to not give things away when you're talking about these. Because now I want to know. I'm like,
yeah.
No, what? What do you mean? What do you mean the audience is limited? What does that mean?
Yeah. 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 So, and we're just, I mean, this is a great year to try all these things out because it's a, you know, it's a new festival and we're trying to figure out what our audience is going to be, how many there's going to be, all that kind of stuff. So,
so if everything goes well,
yeah.
Do you already have plans for next year?
Yes. I've already picked the dates.
Oh,
I wrote it down somewhere, but I think it's something like July 22nd to 25th or something. It's the same, essentially the same weekend in July for next year. Yeah. That's the plan.
Yeah. All right. And so are you going to expand a little bit and maybe try some other venues?
We're talking about possibly putting on a second venue because we have had more interest than we have space for at this point in terms of performance. So that would be the way to go, would be to put on another venue.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds very exciting. Okay, well, we'll get through this one first, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
It's very soap opera-y. We're just, I don't know what it is, but that just makes me smile every time I hear it. So today's dramatic moment, I thought would be, of course, appropriate to have a theater dramatic moment. So I was just reading because I get all, when I am in charge of the dramatic moment, because mm-hmm. sometimes Louise is, but when I am, I check the BBC Arts site.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's like 10 or 12 dramatic moments in the arts every day on BBC Arts World.
Right.
So it's fairly easy to find something going on. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, Johnny Depp's wife was just, you know, in a hearing because she's accused of smuggling their dogs into Australia or something. I mean, you know, so all the stuff, everything you could possibly want to know in the entertainment world is happening there. But anyway, so what I thought was interesting, though, about theater is that, because I talk about this quite a lot, how employment in the arts sector is really critical, that even though volunteers are loved and appreciated, we have to, you know, think about how organizations support the arts sector and how well they pay their people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's chronic that actors, artists, you know, dance, like people are underpaid, seriously underpaid. So here, the dramatic moment is that in 2012, there was a fringe festival in London that was similar, I think, to the concept that you're doing now,
mm-hmm.
That a play of 80 people was cast, and instead of the pay, the actors were told they'd get a portion of the take.
Right.
Right. And I don't know if that's a normal arrangement in the theater world, but anyway,
I don't know.
Of course it wasn't a big budget production and it made no profit. And so none of these actors were paid.
Right.
And so those actors brought that theater company to court and to sue them for, and so,
yeah.
And so it was kind of just an interesting process that a tribunal actually found in favor of the actors, but then the theater company appealed, and now it's been in favor of the theater company, because what the judgment was is that they're not workers under the law. They're considered self-employed contractors.
That's how it works in Canada too.
Yeah. And so I thought, oh, that's interesting. These poor people, you know, bust their butts for, you know, in the process, because nothing happens in a day, right? Like, you have to work. And of course the time frame leading up to a production is spent in, you know, preparation, rehearsals, and all kinds of other arms of that whole, you mm-hmm. know, the thing. In addition to things like the fact that they've been trained, they've gone to school, you know, these were professionals.
They weren't, volunteers or
they were professionals, right. It was just because they had made this agreement because it was of the style of festival. So they were represented in the first tribunal. They were represented by the I can't remember what the equity thing is in London.
In London.
Yeah. But they were mm-hmm. represented by that union, but it ended up being about the classification of the type of worker that
right.
they were.
Yeah.
So then they've got all their training, their professional experience, they struggle, they strive, they climb their way to yeah. a situation where they get into a production and then, oh yeah, no, sorry, we didn't make any money, so you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of feeling like, we're not progressing very much here, are we?
No. I think there's been a little bit of progress, but not a lot. Certainly. And I think also in the past 10 years, that's the economy is not great around the world. There's less pressure on people who employ artists or who pay artists to pay them better because things are not looking up anywhere else as well, right?
Right.
I feel for those actors because it's not a great situation, and very often there's that risk involved, and the artist, it ends up falling on the back of the artist.
Yeah, yeah. They're the sort of the bottom of the pile.
Yep.
Yeah. And we did Louise and I did a show about, about gender equity in terms of pay in the art sector mm-hmm. a while back, and learned that women make up the majority of the, the dancers and actors and, mm-hmm. A whole bunch of different sort of art sector, low pay positions.
Yeah.
And men make up more of the directors and yes. producers and the high pay positions, right. which are still not the highest in,
Yeah.
But they certainly seem to be striated that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were kind of discussing, well, what does that mean? Like, is it a gender issue? Is it an art sector issue, right? Like, we have to think mm-hmm. about how all these factors combine to make this perfect storm of very devalued skills and yep. talent. So what are you doing to address
what
that?
What am I doing to address it? Well, this is the way we're working the festival is that we take a fee for a registration fee from the companies. Mm-hmm. And then we are going to split the door 80-20 in favor of the company. So they pay us up front to register for the festival, mm-hmm. and then they get 80% of whatever comes in the door.
Oh, okay.
They and we're looking after publicity, and we're giving them billets and for the out-of-town people. And it's up to them how they deal with their own particular production. So they have to secure the rights to perform any plays that aren't their own. Mm-hmm. And they have to look after whether they're paying people or not. That's, that's not under our purview.
So, yeah. So yeah. Do you find that more small theater companies are paying their people?
I'm not sure. I think here in the Shuswap, it's pretty well all volunteer, but I'm not sure about, for example, Fred Skelton. I don't know whether they're doing some kind of profit sharing agreement, because I have heard of profit sharing. I don't know, with a cast of 80.
Yeah,
that sounds a bit crazy, but I have heard of profit sharing. In small collective kind of situations, like the way a band shares the take.
Yeah, right?
People would do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's very important. In terms of the festival, I want to pay key people. There are some people, for example, our technical crew, who are going to be on for probably 12 hours or more a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think Friday's even going to be longer because we have a tech day. So they're going to start at 9 in the morning and go till about 11 at night.
Yeah.
On Friday. And they're absolutely crucial. I think they should be paid for their time, at least an honorarium, mm-hmm. And
which is often how it works in the art sector,
yes.
that you get this piddly amount, like $100, just to say we value you.
Yep.
But it's not anywhere near an hourly wage that nope. recognizes how much time you've yep. put into something.
Even minimum wage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah.
No. But I think it's important to start to pay people, because Shuswap Theater has run up to now on a purely volunteer basis. There's, mm-hmm. as far as I know, there's very few there are no paid employment positions, and there may be a little bit of contracted work, but mm-hmm. not much. And in terms of growing this festival, we need to grow it as a professional festival, I think, and start to pay people to get people to commit, and to also be really, and to be, to make sure we recognize their skills
yeah.
and their
Because I think it's important for us to talk about what's the difference between volunteer work and unpaid work.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do it, when you're volunteering for something, it's because you believe in the cause, you want to give your time. It's like, it's almost like you choose to give time instead of money, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually a short term. The beginning, middle, and end is usually fast, right? Like you do a 2-hour shift at a event or something, right? So that's volunteer. But unpaid work is when you are asking a technician or somebody to do a job for a specific period of time using a set of skills that they might have paid for to get trained in, or that they've been building over the course of 20 or 30 years in terms of experience. Mm-hmm. That's just unpaid work. That's not a volunteer.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like we have to start recognizing that unpaid work is going to have to start being replaced with paid work eventually. We can't expect our economy to continue to be balanced and people to still buy groceries and you know, a couch and stuff like that if they're not being paid for their work. So we have to recognize that the arts sector has that requirement as well.
Yeah.
So there, it's my rant. Well, I think it needs to be talked about a lot.
I agree because it's one of those hidden things, right? As long as you don't talk about it, people aren't aware of it, and so there's no need to do anything about it.
Yeah, not every time, but often when I have this conversation, people say, "Oh, but the whole community was built on the backs of volunteers, and women used to do all of these things, and you know, nobody ever thought about money, and money's just a, you know." And I'm like, you know what? It's really easy for you to see that when you're 65 and you're on a pension or you've got this government plan, right? Like, it's easy to talk about it when you're coming from that angle, but when you're 25 and 30 and 35 and you're trying to build a career and you're constantly being asked to do things for free,
that's
not practical.
Yeah.
You have to eat, and you can't eat exposure. So there we go. There. Louise and I often talk about building a little plexiglass box that looks like a cereal box, but you can see through it, and we write exposure on it. And then on the side, the nutritional label
is like 0000000.
Yeah, so there, that's exposure. And every time I see something like, artists can do this for the exposure, and if I see that word one more time. Anyway, okay, so now we have a few minutes left to talk about some of the other events coming up in the area.
Right.
And it's just interesting that Theater on the Edge is happening on the same weekend as quite a lot of other arts festivals and events in the area.
In this tiny area, yeah.
We are filled to the rafters that weekend, which is exciting because you can really immerse yourself. Mm-hmm. You can decide to make it a theater, music, dance weekend for yourself and get plays and get some, you know, Shusup Lake Festival of the Arts is happening.
You could start with weekend. WOW on Wednesday.
Yeah, you could start with WOW. Launch it with WOW.
Yeah.
With the Folk Road Show, which is going to be a fabulous concert.
Yeah.
And then, Shusup Lake Festival of Arts goes Thursday to Sunday. And Caravan Farm Theater opens that week.
Opens on Thursday.
Yeah, The Knight's Mare.
Yeah.
And then that weekend is the Enderby Arts Festival.
On the Saturday, the 25th.
Right. Yep. So you can go down there and enjoy that. And then this Theater on the Edge for 3 days from Friday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's wonderful crazy. Good because...
And it really is everything. There's visual arts, right? There's 2D, 3D, dance, pottery. There's everything
at
Shuswap Lake Festival of the Arts.
Yeah.
Enderby, I know, has music and all kinds of artisans.
Yeah.
And theater here.
Yeah. So all that information, I mean, a lot of that can be found online. Just look for these people's websites. They've got all the dates and the details up there. We have quite a lot of information on our website at salmonarmartcenter.ca.
And the festival, the Theater on the Edge, you can find out about that at shuswaptheater.com.
Right.
And there's tickets. You can buy tickets online as
That's
well.
That's a very great thing that you can buy tickets online. That's wonderful.
And you can buy single tickets. They're all $10. Or you can buy 3, 5, or 7 play passes, and they're a really good deal.
Oh, yeah. And I kind of like that because it's a bit of a commitment. It's like you buy a 3 pass and you're like, well, I got to go to 3, so now I got to pick 3, right?
Yeah.
I think that's great. That's actually a very good deal, too.
3 for $25.
I know. Come that's on. Screaming.
Yeah.
If you're in Vancouver, you'd be like 3 for $650. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a real pleasure.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be a wonderful weekend, and I wish you well, and I'll say break a leg because I know that's supposed to be the thing, except I really don't wish that you break a leg. Okay. But enjoy, and I hope the whole community enjoys it.
Thank you.
It's been a wonderful theatrical day, and we hope that you'll get a chance to enjoy all the theater events coming up in the Shuswap in the next coming couple of weeks. We'll see you next time on Artscape.